You're not going to want to miss this episode of the AI Show, where we look at amazing tooling to build your own data science AI models with Python. Make sure you tune in. Hi there, my name is Seth Juarez. Welcome to this episode of the AI Show. We're going to talk about some awesome tooling that you can use as a data scientist and a developer to do AI. Why don't you introduce yourself? We'll start with you, John.
Sure. I'm John Lam. I work on the Azure Notebooks team, and I'm building the experience and playing the data scientist as well in the first part of this demo.
Awesome. Ron?
I'm Ron. I'm a PM on the Python team, and I work on tools in Visual Studio Code for data science jobs.
Fantastic. And, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say I'll be playing the developer role in this episode.
Fantastic. If I interrupt too much, you just slap me, because people watching want this to happen. So just be liberal.
Be entertaining.
That's right. So here's the thing.
Sounds good.
Can we slap you?
Yes, please. You're supposed to slap me the whole time. So as a data scientist, like, what do people actually do to build AI models? And then what are some things that we can give them to help them with that process?
Absolutely. So I think it all starts with a set of tools, right? And what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through training, optimizing, and deploying this model that allows us to detect different kinds of dogs and cats, right? Okay. So the idea really is, there's a picture. What breed is this dog or cat?
And is it a hot dog or not a hot dog?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And so this model is going to be trained using TensorFlow. It's using a technique called transfer learning, where we're taking a model that's already been pre-trained on a whole bunch of different images, and we're just going to retrain the final layer of that model using a set of 37 categories of dogs and cats that we have selected. It's a data set called the Oxford Pet data set.
Okay.
And we're going to go use a bunch of Azure infrastructure and tooling, right, to go make that happen.
All right, let's do it.
Cool, let's go. So what we have is a GitHub repository which contains the files for our demo.
Okay.
And one of the really nice things that we have is this badge that you can click on here, which has Azure Notebooks and import written on it. So that's going to go take that thing and import it into Azure Notebooks. I've done it already here. And this brings us into the Azure Notebooks experience. You can see it's exactly the same set of files that we have here. And what we want to do is we want to start running one of our notebooks, which will walk us through the training experience.
So and people at home can literally click on that button and they will see this happen in their own Azure Notebooks account. If they don't have one, you can create one. It's free.
Absolutely, okay. Right? And you can log in with both a Microsoft account, or if you have a Workplace account, Azure Active Directory account, you can log in using one of those as well.
And I just interrupted you because I want people to start following along, because you can follow along and do this live.
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. So what I'm going to do now is, again, since this is a deep learning model, right, this really helps when you have a GPU to help you accelerate the training process. So a new feature that we launched in Azure Notebooks is two things, actually. The first part of it is we integrate with your Azure subscription now. So with the Azure subscription integration, you can now run your compute on arbitrary VM sizes inside of Azure.
Oh, cool.
So what we have now is I've already set up and started a VM. You see here, there's this button here that says run on GPU DSVM. And that starts up a Jupyter Notebook server running on top of one of the Azure. It happens to be an NC6 VM size, if you happen to know that already, which contains the GPU that we're going to be using.
Is there something you have to do on the VM in order to make this work, or is it just like it finds it and it does it?
So it's literally a kind of like a turnkey experience, right, in the sense that you start the VM right now in the portal, right? So we don't currently have the experience to start it from within the Azure Notebooks experience yet, but that's coming. So if you go to the notebook, you start up the VM. It's called a data science VM. So you search for a Linux data science VM in the portal, and you fill out all the forms, you start that thing running, and then from Azure Notebooks, what you'll do is you'll either look for the IP address for that VM or its DNS name, or you can also use this built-in drop-down thing, which will enumerate all of the running VMs that are in your subscriptions.
Oh, wow.
And you just pick that one out of the list.
So you don't have to provision the VM or do anything?
You have to provision in the sense you've got to turn it on first.
Well, of course.
Right? So we don't have the ability to turn it on, right? But once it's there, we will enumerate all the running VMs that you have in your Azure subscriptions, and you just pick the one that you want to use.
I don't have to like install something on the VM for this to work?
Nope. Because all the stuff, it's kind of batteries included inside this VM.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Love it.
So now that we're in here, we have this notebook that's running. The very first thing that we typically want to do as a data scientist, let's kind of take a look at what the data looks like. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run this cell, and if you haven't seen a Jupyter Notebook before, Jupyter Notebooks are kind of like blogs, right? Except for the fact that you can actually run the code inside of the cell. So I can run a couple of different ways. I can click on this run button up here, or I can hit Shift-Enter while I'm inside of the cell. I'm just going to do that because it's a convenient shortcut. And you can see sample pictures, one from each category that I've shown below, right? So these are the 37 different categories of dogs and cats that we'll be using. I'm going to now run this cell to start the training process. So remember, we talked about this transfer learning idea. So transfer learning is great because we can train just the final layer and against a much smaller set of data, right? Because we're starting with a pre-trained model. Mm-hmm. The model that we're starting with is a model called MobileNet. Okay. MobileNet is particularly interesting because it's optimized to run on small devices. It can run on phones, and it can also run on this AI camera that we've been showing recently at a bunch of different events. So when we look through this thing and this data set, we scroll to the bottom here, you can see that we have this test accuracy of about 80%, right, 79.5% here. And the test accuracy is important because when we were training the model, there's a set of data we're using in the training, and there's a set of data we're using to validate it, and then there's a set of data we held back, mm-hmm. right, just to see how good is this model at seeing a bunch of pictures that it's never seen before during the training and validation set. So that's the thing that we use to evaluate the goodness of the model, and 80% is a pretty impressive result because when this data set first came out back in 2012, the best models in the world that were hand-tuned by AI researchers could only hit 59% accuracy. So in about 25 seconds, 80% accuracy running on Azure.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, when I was in school, I had to rent like the supercomputer to do this kind of stuff, and they only let me do it like at between 3 and 4 a.m. because I was an undergrad grad.
Yeah.
It's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, that's
this
terrible.
Is amazing.
Yeah, I know, it's awesome. And now that you've got this, we can see if we can do better than 80%, right? So now what we're going to do is we did all of this training, all this transfer learning thing that we did right now, we did it all using that VM, right? That data science VM running on the GPU connected from the notebook. There's a service that we just GA'd just at Connect last week called the Azure Machine Learning Service. Mm-hmm. And there's a feature of that service called Hyperdrive. Now, as a data scientist, oftentimes what you do is you want to tune some parameters, mm-hmm. right? So if you're a developer, you know that, hey, I can try different optimization settings in my compiler, right? That's an example of a parameter, a hyperparameter, mm-hmm. As data scientists like to call it. So we're going to start off by doing some hyperparameter tuning. There's a particular parameter in training these models called the learning rate,
right.
which you can kind of think about as the size of the step that you're taking, right, mm-hmm. while you're trying to find the solution. And we're just going to throw random values at this in a random distribution between 10 to the minus 15 and 10 to the minus 3. All right, so
Love
we're going to try different things. So this is a service. It lives inside of this Azure Machine Learning Service, right? And Azure Machine Learning Service uses a concept called a workspace to organize a bunch of resources that you have. Your compute resources, in this case, I have a cluster that I've already started up, right, which has five GPU nodes running right now. And it also has a concept of experiments, which kind of shows the different runs that you've taken over time, as well as the data set that we're using is already being provisioned inside of this workspace. So what I did in that first line of code that I just ran was just get a reference to an experiment that I've already set up. This chunk of code in here happens to be the code that gets deployed to each node of the cluster. And if you look carefully at these two lines of code up here, you'll see that there's two parameters we essentially pass in on the command line, right? So the hyperdrive daemon passes in two parameters. One is, hey, this is where the data is stored. Mm-hmm. And the second one is, what's that learning rate that I want this node to run on? All right, so it's really cool. Once we have that done, we can switch over to this cell. And what this cell does is a couple of things. It does this learning rate thing. So this log uniform distribution is, yeah, I just want random numbers, but random based on logarithmic units, not on non-logarithmic units. And we're going to go deploy this thing out and run and start this run using the hyperdrive daemon. Now, as this thing is running, we would like to see progress. So we'll fire up this next line of code, which starts showing this this widget. This widget shows you it's some HTML that's running dynamically in there that shows me the status of my cluster and what's going on. This is going to take some time to complete, so I'm going to switch to looking at a completed run for time. And this completed run I did already a bit earlier, and you'll see that it's populating the runs. So as it's trying each one, the experiment that we ran, tried 20 different random values, would run up to 4 computes in parallel on my 5-node cluster. And when it's done, what's kind of cool here is it shows all of the completed runs, and it shows this graph, right, of how that validation error or the validation accuracy was improving, right, as the run went on. Now, the interesting thing about what the final result was that we got about a 90% test accuracy. Right? In training, we traded maybe about 20 minutes for this thing to run on this hyperdrive cluster to get an additional 10%, right? Which is fantastic. Right?
Yeah, so I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, generally what I would do as a data scientist, I'd be like, well, let me try 10 to the minus 5 here and see what happens. And then I run it, and then 6 minutes later, let me try, you know. And so this is cool because it feels like it's a ginormous for loop going over random values of these parameters, and you don't have to do anything.
Yes.
Now, is it going to run all of these jobs to completion, or is there a way to stop the ones that just stink?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, because there's this, it's almost like I paid you to say that.
I know.
Right?
I take checks.
So there's this one line of code that's sitting inside of here, right, which is called this early termination policy. And what the early termination policy says is, if this run is less than 15% away, right, from the best value that I've seen so far, right, just go terminate this run early, right? So after so many steps, right, we're going to terminate this run, and so that allows me to reclaim that node that was being used on this run that's probably not going to convert,
right,
and I can replace it with a different value.
And that's awesome, man. And I kind of knew the answer to this beforehand, but it's cool because, like, originally I could just run a for loop and think I'm a really smart data scientist, looping over random values, log uniform values. But now I can actually run them and have the jobs killed without having to do anything.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. So now that I've got this experiment that's run to completion, I can now register the best run, right, inside of the model, right? So there's this this best run thing that I'm going to do now, right, which is going to go literally just pull out the best run from that experiment, register it inside of the Azure Machine Learning Service, so that I can now give it to Rong. Right, so Rong is our developer here, and she's going to help us take this model that I finished training. So remember, I've trained and optimized this model now, 90% test accuracy, and now she's going to deploy it into production.
So let's pause for a minute, because maybe there are people that are watching out there that are new to AI. You keep saying this notion of a model. What is a model?
So a model you can just think about as a function.
Okay. Right?
It's a function that took some input and tries to generate or make a prediction about what the output is going to be. Right. So what we'll see here is... the input obviously is going to be a picture, right? So it's going to be a picture of some animal. And the model is going to say, oh, this is, remember there's these 37 categories that the model knows about. So it knows about these 37 different breeds of dogs and cats. And it'll say, oh, I think the likelihood of this thing being, you know, this kind of dog is going to be this percent.
Got it.
Right? So it's going to give us a rank of the top five results.
That we'll see this in action, you know, a little bit.
Awesome. So now that the data scientist is done and they've been overpaid, let's get to the actual work.
Actual work gets done by developers, right?
That's right.
So I will do two things here. First, so John has trained a model in the notebook, and we want to turn this notebook into a Python module so we can do more trainings in the future. Let's say we get more data, we want to retrain, we want to turn that into a piece of software that can be source controlled.
Okay.
So that would be my first job. And the second job is the model that John has trained and optimized. We're going to deploy that as a service in Azure. And then we'll see how we can use that model as a service in an application.
And then we become rich, right? So then we make a mobile app, obviously, that pings the API, and then we're rich.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Pretty excited about this. Uh-huh. All in like 30 minutes.
Yes. All right, now let's get started.
Let's do it.
So as a developer, I'm going to use my favorite tool to do both jobs. Let's get started with getting the notebook that John had, right? So the easiest thing to get that is to git clone.
Okay.
Because it's already on GitHub, and all I have to do is to run this command in VS Code.
Right.
And give it the URL and download everything. Now, I already have that downloaded on my local machine right here. So the file we are interested in here is this notebook file.
And here's the
exact
challenge.
Same thing.
I have a challenge with notebook files primarily because I love working with them, but as a dev, they're kind of not useful. I end up going over there and copying the code, and then I move it over, and then I have to refactor it because between us, a data scientist doesn't write good code. but so we have to fix
lots
it.
Lots of copying and pasting.
No offense.
Lots of copying and pasting.
No offense. Is there a way for me to streamline this?
Right. Yeah. So the first thing we're going to do is let's take this notebook file and see what it looks like.
Okay.
If you open this in straight in VS Code, you get this as a JSON format.
Right.
But we're going to get a much richer experience in Visual Studio Code using the Python extension.
Cool.
Notice there's a pop-up message asking me if I want to import this into VS Code as Python code. And I do. So I click on import, and right there, all the code is extracted from the notebook right here.
I feel like this happened really fast, and people just don't get the gravity of this. And I've seen this demo before, and obviously I knew a question to ask, but like, I have spent way too much of my life copying stuff out of a notebook and then moving it over, doing it in one click and doing it in a sensible way, and having this little thing that says run cell to me is amazing.
Yeah, that hopefully saves a lot of copy and paste work. So one thing you'll notice is we have converted all the markdown cells as comments, so you can keep those in your file, and the code cells as code.
Right.
And what's more magic about this conversion is we put these little marks in there, so we keep all your cell structure from the notebook into your code. And once you have those annotations in your code, you'll see these run cell code lenses light up, which means we can run these cells inside VS Code in an interactive way, just like you're working with Jupyter. So I just clicked on run cell here.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was this spins up a Jupyter server on my machine and then gets results back. And we present that in this Python interactive window. So this is a markdown cell. If I move down here, I can run a code cell. And now again, I can use the same shortcut key, Shift-Enter, that John used earlier to run a cell.
Oop. Command-Enter.
Yes.
Oops, not Command-Enter.
Huh, I didn't realize that didn't work. And it must be something else. Control.
It's the Mac's fault.
Yeah,
we're going to blame it on that. But
yeah.
Look,
this
I
is like these LCD things, the touch bar thing. That's got to be that.
Honestly, I think that just being able to click on, like having it there, I did a demo with this just recently, and just being able to show, like, here's what happened, and be like, oh, let me type this up real quick and run it, and have it all in Visual Studio Code. To me as a developer, it kind of like, oh, this is my environment. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, let's just try click, which will run this code cell. And now we are looking at these pictures from each breed of dogs and cats that we have seen earlier in the notebook.
Right.
So you get the similar experience in here. So let's take a quick look at this interactive window. This is the newest feature addition in the Python extension for VS Code. So in here, you can not only run, see the results, but also you could clear results, say here, or you can navigate back to your source code.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, so it goes back there. You can restart kernel or interact the kernel, and once you're done, you can even export the results back to be a notebook file.
Oh, that's cool. So you could start with code first and then go to notebook if
right.
you want.
So yeah. Give it to data scientists and to view the results
cool.
and all that. Okay, so let's close that window now. So now I'm ready to start refactoring the code into a Python module. A couple of features that would be really, really handy in this task is, let's say I want to take this chunk of code and put that into a function. I can use extract method right there. Save changes and name it check dataset. And just like that. Okay, maybe not. Usually this is pretty fast.
Right.
So
but
a second.
As I'm looking at this, like one of the cool things about this is, like I said, when I'm doing this code, it's nice to be able to take, because look, notebook code is not something I would actually like, it's not that I wouldn't check it in, but I would check it in for other reasons, to explore, to annotate, to understand, right? But this code I would actually use to actually check into source code, run interactive jobs somewhere else.
Right? Yeah, and the kind of central idea about why we want to do this refactoring here is to turn this thing into a software artifact, right? Away from this notebook artifact into a software artifact. I can version control it. I can run it again simply by importing it as a module into some Python script. Mm-hmm. So this could happen if I wanted to train it on additional breeds of dogs. Right. If I find some more pictures of dogs and cats out there, I'll just add it to my data set and then rerun the model against that.
Or you get it, someone says, hey, it's super important for the business that we start to understand cat breeds too. Then you can start to add more data and then do the training again. Right. We know this works, we can try it again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, in this process, like I mentioned, a couple of other features, let's just take a quick look. Let's say if I have another piece of code I want to do something with, right click, and then I have rename symbol, change all our occurrences. Like if you want to refactor code, in a notebook format, that means you have to look for code across different cells, which is really difficult to find and replace. But this you can do all at once. I can sort my imports, and I can even extract variables to make it cleaner. I can use the built-in debugger right here in VS Code, right here. So all I have to do is click this button, arrow button, or press F5 to start debugging. There's no configuration needed if I only want to debug this one single file. And you can hit breakpoints, look at variables and call stack and everything you expect with a debugger. So all right there. So just for the interest of time, let's switch over to finish the version that it kind of refactored a little bit. You can see I have all the imports sorted at the top. I've put code into functions.
Yeah, this feels more codey to me.
Right. And then I can call these functions or even from a different module, like John said. And then I can take this file, put this in under source control, and then for collaboration, for version control, and all that. Okay, so now I have completed my first task, which is turn code into a Python module. Now let's work on the second one, which is we're going to take the model, the best model we have optimized, and deploy that as a web service on Azure and look at how we can do that easily in VS Code. So to do that, I'm going to need an extension called Azure Machine Learning extension. And I already have that installed. Once I have that, I can access everything in my Azure Machine Learning service. And this is my workspace right here, my subscription. And what we're going to see is the model that John has registered earlier from the Azure notebooks. And we can see the same information right here. And this is the model that was deployed, that was registered. And to deploy, I simply just have to right-click and select this menu item that says Deploy Service this model. And that's all I need to do. Of course, along the way, it's going to ask me for a file, a script file, what we call a SCORE file. Essentially, this is a file that's required by Azure Machine Learning Service to define, hey, all the raw data coming into the web service, how am I going to process the data? And how I am going to use the model to make predictions? And this is defined in this run function.
So just to be clear, because I mean, this is really cool, but what are we actually deploying? Are we deploying like a web service or some kind of API service?
This is a web service.
Cool. So the web service, then you have to have this file that takes an input, and then you have to load this model up.
Right.
Pass in the things and then make sense of what the output
is. Right. Essentially, this is what this script file defines in this run function. It takes in my input, which is my raw data in JSON format, convert that into a JPEG image, because that's what our model takes in as input. So I'm using TensorFlow here to do the conversion into image, but I'm not quite done yet. What I'm going to do here is add one a line of code real quick. Say I want to resize all the images coming so I know what size it's going to be. So I'm going to continue to use TensorFlow. You notice as soon as I type in TF, I get my regular IntelliSense along with the document information on the right side.
Sure.
And then what's cooler is in here, if I type in dot, not only I get regular IntelliSense, but I also get notice all the top five start results.
Right.
This is coming from a feature called IntelliCode, which is our AI-assisted intelligence. Essentially,
so we're using like AI
to build AI.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
So we trained this engine with open source projects that's used TensorFlow, and we know in this context, these are the functions you're probably going to need and probably what you should use. So right here, I'm going to use image, which is in the list. I'm going to tap and dot again. You see we get a different list
to
start result. And just so happened, I need the first one because I should just do what IntelliSense tells me to do.
Basically. I don't know why we even have jobs anymore.
That's right, just dot tab, boom,
that's all. And then I'm going to pass in the result from the previous step and just give it a size.
And this is because the model expects a specific size.
Exactly.
As it comes in.
Right. Yeah. And then, of course, down here, we're going to start this TensorFlow session and run. And then here is where we load this model.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the labels, the output labels, and compare the species, make predictions, and return the top K results,
right,
which we're going to see in our test app. All right, so this is how we define how the service is going to work. Of course, coming back here, we're going to deploy the model, supply this file along with environment file that defines the dependencies we need.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this case, we're going to need TensorFlow.
Yes.
But that's all we need. And it only takes a couple of minutes to get that deployed. But again, for the sake of time, let's just look at one that's already deployed as a web service. And I can prove that to you by showing you the service properties.
So where is this putting it? Is it putting it like in a VM? Is it some kind of something? Because I know it feels like you're building containers somehow because you're giving environments and stuff. Where are these containers going when you deploy them? Where can you put them?
This is in this particular case, we're using Azure Container Service.
Okay.
Container instances,
okay,
which is single container that Azure spins up for you really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Especially great for testing purposes because it will spin up really fast in seconds.
Right.
And then will be tore down once it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when you're more ready for production, you can use Kubernetes, which is going to spin up a cluster of container instances, and the scales really, really well. But in this particular case, everything is running a container that Azure spins up for me. I don't have to do anything.
Right.
It happens automatically behind the scenes.
That's cool.
And that's all managed by the Azure Machine Learning Service. So here, we have our web service. This is the URL we're going to use. And now let's go back to our code file. And I have a test application here. So we're going to test out if our model works. So this is another Python file, but this service can be used by whatever language of your choice, right? Any kind of applications. So what are we going to do here? This is a really simple application. We're going to take an image. In this case, it's a dog, an image that has a dog. And this is the service we're going to use, the same service URL we have seen. And essentially, it's going to do, when it comes in, we turn the image into JSON and send that information over as an HTTP request to the web service, these code.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the result comes back, we unpack the result and try to see what the predictions are. And so this piece of code, I can run this in a regular Python terminal. You know, we can see what the numbers look like. But I'm going to do something even better. Remember, we looked at the interactive window earlier?
Yes.
And I'm going to just type in %% to turn this code, entire piece of code, into one single cell. And what's cool about this is now I can run the cell in this interactive window.
Uh-huh.
So I can view the results not only as text, but also as an image. Because I sent an image over to the web service, I want to see what the image looks like.
That's cool.
And in here, I can see both. And this is the image I sent. This is the prediction results that I got back. So you see, this is likely an English Cocker Spaniel with 98% probability. Very likely, this is the breed. Some other guesses, the other top four guesses, but much
smaller
numbers.
Yeah.
So we kind of walk through how we turn notebook file into a Python module, how we deploy models, and how we can use the service to actually make predictions. And this is real.
This is pretty cool. I mean, this is a real thing. It's a real service. Now, the thing is, just to summarize, because I feel like we went through stuff really fast, you actually trained a model.
Yep.
Optimize the hyperparameters so that you get a better, not just, I think it was 75, 80% accuracy. You went 95%
accuracy.
90% accuracy. Then once you're done with all the experimentation, you're like, all right, here, developer. And what you do is you take the Python,
import.
Jupyter notebook, import, refactor, get it ready to push out again so that if anyone wants to run the experiment again, they can. And then you deploy that service using the model that you uploaded, and then we're off to the races after that.
Yep, exactly.
That's pretty amazing. So just to finish up, where can people go to find out more about Azure Notebooks?
So you go to notebooks.azure.com is the site, and all you need to do to sign in is have a Microsoft account or a workplace account like an Azure Active Directory account.
That's awesome. And where can people go to find out about this cool extension? Is it all just one extension?
Well, it's actually two extensions.
Okay.
So there's the Python extension that has the Python interactive experience for data science. And the other extension is Azure Machine Learning extension.
Okay.
That is for anything you want to use Azure Machine Learning service for.
Awesome. And you can just download those and play with them today for free.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Thanks so much for watching. We're learning all about the amazing tooling we have on Azure to do machine learning, not just Visual Studio Code, but Azure Notebooks. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.